here on Radio National, actually. Welcome to a very special Life Matters Friday Talkback. I'm Richard Adey, and today we're celebrating 45 years of the iconic children's TV programme Play School. The idea was originally borrowed from the BBC. They dropped it, though. Silly them. And we kept it. And who knows how many hundreds of thousands of Australian toddlers and preschoolers have gone on to know and love it. What about you? The useful box, the rocket clock, looking through the windows, part of your childhood? Maybe you enjoyed guiding others through the experience. Even if you haven't watched, I bet you know those words. There's a bear in there. We have our very own Life Matters connection as well. Listeners might remember former presenter Julie McCrossan was also on Play School for a while. She played a silent clown called Plain Jane. Today, we've got a studio full of Play School talent, both past and present, here to share their anecdotes. And I really want to hear from you. Call now, 1300 22 55 76. 1300 22 55 76. 1300 call RN if that's helpful. If time differences are against you, and you do have to get weaving in South Australia and the Northern Territory, WA though, go to 02833 1430, 02833 1430. You can leave a message. We'll get as many as we can on air next week. You can also head online to leave comments on the Facebook page or the Life Matters website, abc.net.au/rn/Life Matters. As I said, the studio is heaving with Play School royalty. Firstly, I'd like to warmly welcome someone familiar to many of you, I'm sure, former presenter Benita Collings. Hello, thanks for being with us today.
Good morning, Richard. It's great to be here.
And also here, sharing a microphone, no less, our current presenters, the actors Andrew McFarlane and Karen Pang. Welcome to both of you.
Hello, thank you.
Richard. Thanks, Richard. Hi.
See, Andrew's got the microphone, you could see.
We'll share. We're very well-mannered presenters. We share everything.
Well, you have to be, because sitting next to you is the EP of the show, the executive producer of Play School, Jan Stradling. Hi, Jan.
Hello, Richard. I'm very happy to have the mic to myself.
Yes. Well, I think you knew that it was best if you got your own. I'm going to start with you. As one TV reviewer put it, the world turns and Play School entertains the children of the children who were brought up on the wholesome songs and craft activities led by a cast of hard-working Australian actors. Are we really celebrating, in a way, the fact that not much has changed in 45 years?
Yep. I don't think, you know, too much has changed. Play School still follows the same format as it's always followed. We've still got the relationship between the viewers and two presenters. We always have a story, the clock. We always look through the windows at the wider world. I think the intrinsic values of Play School have stayed exactly the same. And perhaps the world changes a little bit around us and we change with it.
I actually think that the relationship is... In television, you hear about relationship with the viewers. In radio, we talk about relationship with the listener. You talk to one person. And I think that's what Play School's always done too. You're talking to that one person.
Yeah, it's always done that very well. And I think that whenever you get people impersonating like preschool presenters, you always know, you quickly identify, oh, they're doing Play School. And you think of all the different preschool shows that there are out there in the world. You can still go, that's Play School, because it's such an intimate relationship that people have, as our presenters can attest to.
Well, Benita Collings, you spent 30 years on Play School. Does that ring true for you as well, that essentially it's still the same thing?
Well, it is, and Jan's quite right. Always from day one we were told, talk to the camera as though it's a child. And they get it. They really get that relationship with you, because when you're out and about, and every one of the presenters has had this happen, some young child will come up to you and say hello and talk to you so naturally because you talk to them every day. And so it's what's changed.
Yeah.
And I don't think that, I mean, I envisage us coming back for the 50th birthday, frankly.
Yes.
Well, Andrew, I think this is your 11th, or is it 12th?
I've kind of lost track as well. I think probably going into my 12th year.
Yeah.
Benita and I were talking about it earlier. And it's quite incredible how time, you suddenly look back and go, oh, my goodness. I did my first audition ever when I left drama school, and I don't think I did too well in it, so it took me 20 years to actually get the gig.
I'm going to come back to the auditions, because the auditions are legendary, but Karen, you're the relative newbie, I think, is it you, 2 or 3 years now?
She's the old bee. The queen bee.
I think I've done 12, 13 years.
Have you?
Mm. Yes.
Right, okay. That shows how well, how much I've been watching lately.
She just looks young and fresh.
How long have you been dipping into the useful box, you think?
Oh, good grief, the useful box. How long have I been dipping into it?
Mm.
Oh, well, it would be 12, 13 years.
Yeah.
Jan, I mentioned the BBC connection. How did it all begin?
Oh, that's a big question. Benita might be able to help me a little bit. I know it started in the UK.
Mm.
And I think it lasted, what, 4 years, was it, Benita, with BBC?
I think it lasted longer than longer? That. I think I heard it died, shall we say, in 88. Now, I might be making that bit up. But
it with conviction and people will believe
it. Oh, okay. Yes, in 88, I believe it finished.
Right, okay. That's as good as it gets for me. It's the second longest running children's program in the world. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. We think Blue Peter is the longest running.
Which I've heard a lot about. My wife is from the UK, so mm-hmm. she has many Blue Peter memories. It's part of the cultural chasm between us. It explains so many of our difficulties. But a lot of the success has been put down to the fact, and I think we've already touched on this, that the children are never spoken down to. They're engaged with on a level.
Yes.
You're at the same level as them.
Yes. And from my memory, Play School here started, I think, in Melbourne, and I believe they used, like, preschool teachers. And it didn't work for that very reason, that they were talking down to the kids.
Ah.
And then when Alan Kendall, the first executive producer, he realised that actors needed to be used because they wouldn't be doing that. And, in fact, in the audition, I know you want to talk about that later.
I do, yes.
You won't get by if that's what you did. You wouldn't get through.
In your day, I think Play School was recorded as live. How demanding was that?
Very, because most of us, being actors, were used to drama, where you'd record one scene, have the break, then record another one, and so on. So it was sort of like, oh my goodness, here we go. And the only time you could stop was if something went dramatically wrong. They really liked you to get yourself out of it. So you could ad-lib your way around something not sticking or something going wrong. But if it was like, just this is not going to happen, you could stop and they'd go back to an edit point. But that was rare. They really liked you not to do that.
Well, a bit later on, I'm going to ask all of you about the moments. and I've certainly got a few of them in front of me here. Of when, and people will remember others, I'm sure. 1-300-22-55-76. There are lines available at the moment. You know how it goes. It's much easier to get on now than it will be later. It gets harder and harder and harder to get through the queue. That is what we're celebrating. Now, if you've just joined us, 45 years of Play School on Life Matters today. Were you there the day the baby goat did a wee on Benita? We will get to that. I'd love to hear from you about what you've taken from the show over the years. Maybe you come back to it via the grandchildren or the younger neighbours. 1-300-22-55-76. Let's take our first caller of the day. Jenny in Sydney. Hello. Hello, Jenny. She's awfully quiet, I think. Shall we move on and find someone else? Yes, all right. Let's talk now to Renee in New South Wales. How are you going?
Good.
Now, you want to talk about the windows.
Yeah, the three shapes of windows.
Which was your favourite?
The round one.
I like the arched one. Is there an arched one? Yes, I like that one.
Yeah.
Why the round one?
Oh, I don't know. I think I just like that shape, and I think you ask different people what shape they like, and everybody's always got a particular one that they remember that they like the most.
Yeah. We have four windows now, I think.
Yeah, right.
We added the diamond window.
Oh, there's a diamond window.
Yeah, I cannot tell you how much that messes with me, that idea.
Just to give a bit of class and a little aspirational desire.
So there'll be
a
particular
audience.
Person who likes the diamond ones.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for getting us going on that, Renee. And also in New South Wales, you want to talk about a presenter who we don't have here today, John Hamblin.
Huh. Well, it has to be said. You know, I was trying to think of what to call him. He wasn't a dark horse. He was just a one-off. And he didn't need any kind of overalls or pink T-shirts or anything. He just seemed to walk in his slacks and his sports jacket or whatever he would have had on, possibly even a suit, take the tie off, roll the sleeves up. And, well, I watched the show over the heads of four children, and some of the stuff he did was over the heads of the children as well.
Yes.
Because John Hamblin doing Tutti Frutti has never left me, even if I might wanted to.
can I read you something, Anne?
Yes.
I've got it here. It's on, you know, on Twitter, people tweet. Somebody has tweeted, their memory of play school. John Hamblin, as a mechanic, lying on the floor, looking up at Benita, the car. I think her big end is broken.
Yes, he was a one-off, but the show is really good over the years. It's been very consistent, and I always liked the pace of it was good for children, and it didn't ever talk down to kids, but it wasn't like, well, my pet hates the Wiggle, so you stayed well away from Wiggle territory all that time too. So thanks very much.
All right, thanks very much for that. Actually, just John Hamblin's come up earlier than I thought he would need it, but you must have had to be on your toes with him.
Well, you did, but the joy of John was that he, although he did those things like, you know, the car thing you just reminded us about, he had total integrity. He would never jeopardise the integrity of the show. He was himself. He did come from left field. But if he thought anything was not working, he would stand up for it. So he and yes, you had to keep a straight face.
Yeah. Well, how hard was that?
Tricky, but you did, because you couldn't have two of you. I always put myself as, I was the straight guy. He was the clown, and that worked. And I know with other female presenters, they did exactly the same thing.
Yeah. Mm. Let's take another one now. Mark in Queensland, how are you going?
Great, thanks. How are you, Richard?
I'm really well. What's your favourite memory?
Well, it's a bit of a dirty play school story.
Dirty play school story.
I reckon my memory in the 80s was it was being shot live. And I remember seeing Benita on her hands and knees, crawling around on the ground and then facing the camera. She had a very blouson top on, but no bra.
This is a family show, Mark.
I know it's a family show. I'm trying to keep it as clean as I can. And I remember the cameraman losing control of the camera, shaking with laughter. She looked straight into the lens and just works out what's going on and just quietly turns around and keeps going. Didn't miss a blink. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen on TV.
Okay. She's blushing, actually.
I think I am. Yeah.
Thank you for that, Mark. Jenny, how are you going?
Oh, I'm going well, thanks. Look, I loved play school. Not only just my kids love it, but I loved it. I loved enjoying, you know, sitting down and watching with them. And life comes full circle, because the other day I was watching one of those, you know, new added free-to-air TV channels, and I could not get over how the fact 1 minute 20 years ago watching George, next minute I was watching him on TV selling some funeral plan. I thought, oh my God, how life had really moved on.
Yes, yes, I can imagine. Thanks for that. Margaret, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, you used to encounter Benita.
Oh, frequently.
Right.
Yes, I lived at Kirkconnell when she lived at Sunny Corner.
Oh.
In Ghana.
Just round, not far away.
No, not far away at all.
It must have been great for the kids.
Oh, absolutely loved it. I liked play school because it spoke in Australian and not American.
Yes, indeed.
But I'd just like to say hello to Benita. It was lovely knowing her, and one day I'd like to track her down again.
Well, all right, well.
Hi, Margaret, I do remember you very well.
Oh, hello, Benita. It was such a joy when I almost broke my leg running into the lounge room to get the phone number to phone, so to say hi.
Okay.
Thank you.
I do feel there's a lot of love in the room today, and it's almost inevitable, because we decided to do this, and we couldn't not, really, given how important it is to Australian culture. I just want to ask the two who are sharing the microphone at the moment, who are doing it now, because it was such a, and I will come back to you on this, Benita, such a big part of your life in particular, but you're working actors, you do various things at various times. Mm. Now, actors over the years have had a reputation sometimes for being badly behaved folk. Did you
never. What makes you say that?
But you have to be, I mean, did you kind of feel a weight of responsibility about being very well behaved?
Well, not that so much, but You mean when I joined?
No, well, once you started, yes.
Oh, well, you're very conscious that you are a recognisable figure to early childhood.
Mm.
And I do, as Benita said, you do meet them in the street, and particularly in supermarkets is where I kind of meet these young kids. And they often spot you before the mum does, or the dad, or the grandpa, or whoever's with them. And they are instantly, as Benita said, also on speaking terms with you, because you've you're part of their daily routine.
Yes.
So, Andrew. And the mother turns around and goes, what are you doing? And suddenly I'm told about what they did this morning, yes, or where they were or where they're going and what their pet is and everything. And then one little boy looked at me and he said, but where's your striped shirt? Because I think he just left the home and watched me on television in my striped shirt. And in fact, another one said, does play school live here?
Yes.
You know, behind the frozen pea section in Coles or Woolies, because that's where I was. So that's their world, and it's real.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just such a great, huge responsibility, because a part of play school, why it lasts, is that we actually have, we're educating children through song and through craft, and there's such a responsibility.
Now, you have to look at me, because if you look at Andrew, the mic can't hear you.
Yeah, no. But, I mean, I just was away doing the concerts and in Hobart, and it's that same thing that Andrew speaks about. When the kids come up to you, you're literally a part. It's like you're in their family, and the way they treat you and they hug you and the way they respond to you, and you just, it reminds you such, you know, that it is such a great privilege and honour to be doing this.
I mean, isn't it? It could be a bit tiring.
I think it is, because you are literally being a big kid.
Yes.
And the energy output that you have to do to maintain that is, it's very tiring, but at the same time, you have to enjoy it too.
It's kind of exhilarating as well.
Yeah, exhilarating. Mm. But there is definitely an enjoyment in it, and you have to have that enjoyment in order for the kids to also respond to that. Yeah.
Yeah. On Life Matters today, 45 years of... Well, play school, I'm thinking it's going to be harder to get through. That board is really filling up. Let's take, though, another caller, Mary Ann in New South Wales. Have we got you? How are you going?
I'm very well, Richard. How are you?
I'm really well. I'm having a great time.
Look, I have a question for you. My mum used to be a presenter on Play School, and it was definitely called Play School back then. But she was in either 1962 or 63, so that's more than 45 years ago.
Right.
And we've often wondered, what are you taking as the official beginning of Play School? Because it was certainly called Play School back then, and she certainly, you know, has told us many funny stories of her time on there, one which included when she had to, again, live, you know, draw for the camera, and the cameraman came up to her afterwards and said, you know, I've got a kid who's six, and if he drew a horse like that, I'd kill him. I'm just interested, because we have always known her, and you know, as having been a presenter on Play School, but it's more than the 45 years ago.
There's lots of furrowed brows in this studio. I've got to say, I mean, would you speculate, Benita, or...?
I think maybe that goes back to what I said earlier about it starting in Melbourne, but I don't know if the caller was her mum.
Was your mum in Melbourne?
No, she wasn't. Ah. She was in New South Wales.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I think we'll try and find that out, but I can't honestly answer your question now.
That is interesting.
No, excuse me. That was Mary Ann. That's a puzzle. If anyone can resolve that, actually, do get in touch, 1-300-22-5576, or jump on the website abc.net.au/rn/lifematters. Kathy in Melbourne. You watched it as a kid, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Actually, I'm 48. So I can, and it, you know what? As a child, I remember that it was the very first time I actually felt empowered as a child, because it was that whole thing of not being spoken down to and of that one-to-one. And I thought, wow, this really eloquently spoken person is speaking to me. I must be really special.
Oh, that's
so,
you are, Mary Ann. You are.
That's, well, it shows it was working, doesn't it?
Totally. I see, you know, every time I hear the music now, I get this really positive, like, happy feeling. I'm like, see, it still works.
You should have it as your ringtone on your phone.
Absolutely.
I've got The Professionals, which is like the end of the 70s cop show, Bodie and Doyle. I should have Play School. Thank you very much for that.
No worries.
Let's talk to Annalise in Victoria. How are you going?
Oh, hi. I just, we're really sad because we're missing out on Play School now.
And
because now it's changed from ABC One and gone into the nether of all those other channels that we don't have.
It's still on ABC One, I think, in the afternoon about
3:05.
Yeah, that doesn't work when you've got school kids and you've got to go pick them up, and it doesn't work for the littlies. So,
this is part of the government's big stick to drive you to get a digital set-top box, I think.
Yeah, well, it's just... Play School was the only telly that the kids had, and they accepted that, and they were happy, and that was just a half-hour slot.
Mm. If you've actually got online, you can actually watch Play School episodes on iView.
Yeah.
If that helps.
Well, not really with a computer keyboard in front of you and you're three and you're...
I think the thing is that the digital thing is sort of happening inexorably. It's like the tide coming in. So you will get to see it again.
Yeah. We'd let you know that we love that it hasn't changed, but the fact that the channel's changed has affected us. So
yes.
We'll let you know.
Okay, Annalise, thank you.
Thank you, bye.
All right, we'll squeeze one more in, I think, and then we have to keep moving. I have so many more questions myself for this group of people with me today, and I should just remind you who they are. Jan Stradling's the executive producer. We've also got Benita Collings, former Play School presenter, and Karen Pang and Andrew McFarlane, who are doing it now. Nairi, how are you going?
Hi, how are you going?
I'm really well. Now, you watched as a child?
Oh, of course. Yes, Benita and John were my favourite in the whole world, and every morning, you know, Play School was my thing, and Mum talks about how I danced in front of the TV every morning and did all the nursery rhymes, and like this morning I'm sitting here with my two toddlers and they're anxiously waiting because Play School's about to be on.
Ooh,
so it's just full circle, and I love watching it again with them now. So
yes.
It
sustains.
It is, and it's still the same as what I remember it being, and they love Karen and Alex at all, and we went to see the concert just recently in Brisbane here with Abby and Alex, and, yeah, it was just wonderful. So,
all right. I love that. Actually, it reminds me of somebody. Somebody's written on Facebook and that, Nairi, and that's somebody called Naomi. She says, Play School was on our telly morning and afternoon for years. My favourite bit was when hubby and I would be watching long after the kids had left the room. So I think it's supposed to be the other way around, but it's strangely compelling. Thank you very much for that. 1-300-22-55-76, there's one or two lines available. It's worth trying to get on. I think now it only gets harder. I'm going to ask all of the presenters in a minute their most memorable moment. But just before I do, I want to read out something which I'm going to aim at Benita. This is from a listener and watcher, Paula. She says, a couple of years ago we saw Benita live in an ABC Play School show in Canberra. And my daughter, who was about three at the time, had been watching Play School DVDs starring Benita and the program on the ABC starring the youngsters of Play School for a couple of years. I have a couple of the youngsters here with me now. As we sat front and centre, well, more like I sat, she danced, giggled, jiggled, jumped, sang. She stopped and studied Benita for a bit and then turned around and yelled to me, how come Benita is old, like Grandma? I have never been so grateful for loud kids' music. I explained that Benita had been with Play School when I was younger and that's what she'd seen on the DVD, and the time had passed since then because I was a grown-up now. Oh, she replied, she must be like the queen of Play School.
That's true.
Right.
After which, she promptly turned around and followed every move of Benita's with great reverence. Are you sort of flattered?
Yeah, I would
be. Yes, I am, because, look, 30 years down the track, everything's changed for all of us. And children, I love it because children are just so honest. They see, they come out with it. I think it's fantastic. Just wonderful.
Let's talk about moments. Karen, have you had a think about what your most memorable moment on the show was?
Oh, I have a few. I remember I was working with animals are always the most memorable moments because they always are so unpredictable, like they say, children and animals.
Yeah.
And I think I just remembered there was mice in one episode and I was holding it and it actually had a... It couldn't help itself and it did a little bit of a accident in my hand.
Yes, what sort of accident? A number one accident or a number two?
Well, actually it's number one and two.
That's a three, really,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And they were so I think it was so completely scared it had stage fright and I had to keep on going. So yeah, it was I have a couple of moments like that.
Andrew.
Oh, yes, here I am.
I'm moving the microphone around.
It's very highly technical.
Yes, it is.
You really are. As Karen said, there's so many of them, nearly knocking myself out trying to catch a runaway rooster was one in a farmyard episode, trying to save Leah Vandenberg, who was terrified of these chickens. But I think one of the most memorable times for me was actually a live show that Karen and I both did up in the Northern Territory.
Mm-hmm.
And we went down from Darwin, we went down to Katherine, and we kind of had a sort of a makeshift stage in a in a big kind of recreational park area. And we did the sound check and everything, and there were one or two people and a couple of sort of balloons hanging around and maybe a sort of a lonely juggler. And we went back and went, well, you know, will people, they know that there's a concert on, isn't there? Well, when we went back, there must have been, I think the whole of the Northern Territory, kids plus families, appeared out of absolutely nowhere. And we were told later that really people had driven for hundreds of kilometres to come in.
Wow. Oh.
And it was really one of the most fantastic. You know, you look out there and the kids' faces, and there's that excerpt that you read out with the little girl looking up and studying, you know, minute details of the performers. That's what you got. And actually sometimes it's quite difficult to keep going because you just want to go, oh, you lovely little things. You want to stop and join them, you know, because they're so open and so involved in what's going on stage. But, yeah, that would, I don't think I'll forget that with this incredible kind of outback scenery in the background.
Oh,
it was fantastic.
Amazing. Yeah, that was quite amazing.
Benita. Yes. Was it the baby goat or?
I think that was the most memorable, only because, as we've discussed earlier, you do the show though it's live.
Mm.
This, with the baby goat, it was the second last segment. We were running so behind. I mean, so behind. So there was no stopping. And the goat had been perfect in the rehearsals, of course.
Yes.
And I'm talking about
secretly planning to ruin things later.
And I'm saying, you know, can you see its eyes and its ears? And then I suddenly felt this wet warmth. And I thought, I'm going to have to say something because in the last segment, I'm standing up as an ice cream churn. So I'd simply said, oh, I think he's a little bit scared. He's just wet himself. Luckily, John Hamblin didn't hear me say that.
Yes, I think we can imagine what would have happened then.
Last scene, there I am standing up, being an ice cream churn. I could see the crew out of my peripheral vision falling about. John still didn't know. He came and he's scooping out all these, you know, from the ice cream churn. And then he said, goodbye, see you next time. And I said, goodbye, I'll just go and change my clothes because I was so wet. I couldn't believe how wet. And John turned to me and he said,
how much can a baby goat have?
Oh, well, I think he'd been hanging on since last night, you know, the night before. And John turned and he looked at me. He said, what happened to... Fade to black.
Oh.
They didn't let him get any further. So that, I guess, was my most memorable.
On Life Matters today, 1-300-22-55-76. If you've got a memorable moment of play school, and you may well have, do give us a call. It is a full board at the moment. So if you can't get through, go to 028-333-1430, leave a message, or you can jump on Facebook, or you can jump on the website abc.net.au/rn/Life Matters. My guests are Benita Collings, of course, who I don't have to say anything else about. Jan Stradling is executive producer of the show, and Karen Pang and Andrew McFarlane, who are two of the current presenters. You're both NIDA graduates. Karen, did you ever imagine that actually play school would be part of what you did?
No, not at all. I was, it was something that when it actually happened, I was totally overwhelmed and so felt honoured and privileged to be a part of. It wasn't something that I could ever imagine myself to do. I mean, I watched it and I remember as a kid thinking, wow, that would be something else to be a part of. But no, when it happened, oh, I was completely overwhelmed.
And Andrew, you're a very experienced actor. What is it about this one, this particular gig, that so keeps you on your toes?
I'm allowed to sing and dance. And nobody else in Australia or, in fact, the known world would employ me as a singer or a dancer. But I'm allowed to, and I'm given honour when I do it.
Right.
On play school. So for that, I'm eternally grateful. Because, you know, we're all hidden Pavarottis in our own bathrooms.
There have been some, I think I'm safe to say, worse singers than you. Obviously.
Thank you, Richard. Yes. Thank you very much. I'll take that as a backhanded, slightly underhand compliment, but nonetheless a compliment.
I mentioned the auditions. Do you deliberately make them tough? There have only been a few EPs, haven't there, in the whole history of the show? You're like the fourth or the third or something.
I'm actually just a baby. I've done it for 2 years, which in the scheme of 45 years is just a little splash in the ocean.
Yeah.
But I think there were probably about four other EPs, something like that.
Right. So, that's an amazing continuity. You know, it's obviously a job that people just do and love and can't stop.
I mean, I don't know. The auditions we've been running, I don't know if they're particularly tough, but we know what we're looking for. Again, it's that intimacy. And people, ironically, I think we look at the cast and they're all incredibly talented. Like you say, they're NIDA graduates. They've got so many skills. But what we really want is somebody who can be themselves and perhaps more of a projected image of themselves. You know, of course, like Karen mentioned, energy levels go up a little bit.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And Andrew mentioned that you have to be people who are not, you know, not self-conscious. They're able to let themselves go and play.
You have to be a slightly nicer
not everyone
version
can
of
play.
Yourself, too. Right?
I think it's got the reputation of being hard because everybody thinks they can do it.
Really?
Until they're there in front of the camera, and then it's like, can you really be yourself?
I'm going to ask all of them in a minute about the auditions, because the auditions are legendary, but it's really time to make some more calls, to have some more calls. We must do that. We have a full board. People are desperate to speak. Maggie in New South Wales, hello.
Oh, hi, Richard. How are you going?
I'm really well. Your kids have a nickname for Andrew, I understand.
Oh. Yeah, they do. And, you know, with all, you know, love and respect, they came up with the beautiful nickname of Hairy Arms for Andrew. and we just know you as Hairy Arms ever since then.
Thank you.
We absolutely love you. You're great. You know, I love your singing style. And I grew up in New Zealand, and we have our own play school over there. So, you know, I didn't grow up with Benita and the older crew, you know, but we had our own, and it was a huge part of my childhood, and it's been awesome watching it with my little kids too, and probably the final comment would be, you know, my husband's the last one in the room to be watching it when the gorgeous Justine's on.
Right.
He thinks she's a piece of all right, so, you know, but yeah, thanks guys, because it is an awesome show.
Okay.
Yeah. Just do me a favour, if we ever do bump into each other in Coles or Woolies, sing out loud and clear, "Hello, Hairy Arms."
Oh, yeah. I know. I just wasn't sure whether to ring and give you that little gem, but my kids came up with it with all love and respect. So,
well, I will be repeating that story on future interviews, I can assure you.
let's thank you very much, Maggie. Let's go to Keir in Queensland. Now, you've got your own definite story about the show, haven't you?
That's right, yeah. It just really struck me when you were talking about how, you know, children think of them it as part of the family. They're not these people on TV. When I was about 3 years old, a friend of my mother's worked at the ABC studios, and she got us snuck into the play school set just at the end of a shoot one day. And it was 3 years old. I ran straight over. The presenters there were Noni and Philip, and I just ran over to them as though I'd known them my whole life.
Yes.
And just straight away, "Hello, how are you?"
How old are you now?
29.
Right, and you still remember that really clearly?
Oh, yeah, we've still got the photos. And, you know, it's amazing how many people, when you say, "Oh, yeah, when I was three, I went to the play school studio."
Yes.
And go, "Wow, that's amazing."
That is as good as it gets when you're three. Thank you. Thanks very much, Keir. Melissa, also in Queensland. How are you going? Oh, she's not there. Look, I think what we'll do now is... We'll talk to Filipina in Victoria. How are you going?
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm really well.
Oh, good.
Now, you want to talk about a photo?
Yes, I did. I just wanted to say that I had my kids in my late 30s, and so I hadn't seen play school for, about 30 years. And I remember Benita really well, and I thought she was awesome. And then there she was talking to my little daughter all these years later. But we went and saw Benita at a concert, and I was really struck by the fact that she spoke to her as if she knew her. Like, Benita was able to actually... I remember she said something about, "Oh, my best friend's called Paula too," and she put her on her knee and took a picture, and we still have that framed picture now. And just the comment that she's just... She just had this natural way of reaching people over the screen, but also in person. And I just wanted to say one thing to Andrew. My daughter did look at me very earnestly one day and said, "Mum, Andrew can't sing." So we always say that they're very earnest when they speak.
Yes.
That was basically it. My story was that, you know, this horror sort of look on her face, you know, she can't sing.
but Mum, those arms. Those arms.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for that, Filipina. We'll squeeze in one more, and then we'll keep moving. Jane in Victoria, how are you going?
Good morning. Thank you.
Now, what do you want to talk about play school?
I just wanted to say, in the holidays that we've just finished, my 17, 11 and 8-year-old enjoyed sitting down to watch play school again.
Really?
And they did say, "Please don't ever let CGI near the clock or the day of the week, because they get very sad when, you know, Thomas has gone to CGI and Bob the Builder. And they said, I hope Play School never goes to CGI.
Okay. Well, Jan Stradling, the EP, is making notes.
Yeah, that's right. I can assure you it won't go to CGI.
All right. Thanks very much. I want to ask you something controversial, Jan.
Mm-hmm.
There has been a little bit of controversy over the years. Not much. Big Ted hasn't done anything unusual. Humpty hasn't been caught anywhere he shouldn't have been. But there was the Two Mums issue in 2004. Before I get you to comment, let's just hear some of that segment that went to air.
Round and around we fly by on a merry-go-round. Faster and faster and up and down. We like the merry-go-round.
And merry-go-round slowing down and stopping.
We're going to see another merry-go-round and other rides through the windows.
Let's have a look.
I'm Brenna, that's me in the blue. My mums are taking me and my friend Maren to an amusement park. Lots of different rides to go on. Here's the merry-go-round. This is one of my favourite rides. I love riding the merry-go-round.
Now, Jan, the fact that the little girl was shown at the amusement park with her two mums, it was the cause quite a stir. It actually wasn't about having two mums. It was about going to the amusement park. What happened, though?
Well, I mean, the philosophy behind Play School, as I'm sure many people are aware, is that we reflect the diversity out there in the community. Having two mums is quite relevant to many preschoolers today.
Mm.
And we'll continue to reflect diversity in the community. I mean, we're not only about exhibiting diversity, but I think it's very important for preschoolers out there to be able to see their own faces and their own lives reflected on television. And if Play School is to belong to everybody, then I think that we have to reflect Australian culture. And it amazes me that still we will still play that and we will still have a lot of complaints.
Because you have, I think a lot of those stories, they go in 7-year cycles, something
like
that. So went to air again, what, last year?
It can be repeated several times over a period of 7 years.
And
I think it went to air last year, I remember. I remember coming in and the play school coordinator was looking particularly fraught on that day.
Right.
And the phone had been running off the hook and many complaints.
More fuss. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask a couple of things about what's changed and what hasn't changed on the show? Early childhood advisors, they're still heavily involved, I think.
Yep, completely. The actual model of Play School has remained quite unchanged. It's essentially a team of TV experts, producers, who work very closely with the early childhood advisors. Everything we do, whether it's a website or an iPad app or the program itself, is done in association with early childhood advisors and experts from the preschool community.
Right. And music, it's still...
Yeah.
It's always
music
been important.
Music is a huge part of... Play School.
Yeah.
Thanks to people like Andrew.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, Jan.
That's all right. That's
You're
all right.
My pal.
I think the music is, I mean, you know, it just encourages so many other things. It's active participation. We're not just sitting there watching. We're actually, hey, everybody, jump up and join in. And I think that's an important side of the music.
And Benita, it's. I've always been hopeless at craft. I can't tell you how much I hate craft. And I have no fine motor skills, but you're very good. And you were making early mobile phones out of cardboard and the like, weren't you? When do you remember the first time you did a mobile phone out of cardboard?
No, I don't, but I do remember we had computer years and years and years ago when computers were first coming in.
Yes.
Computers and also fax machines.
Fax machines.
So, yeah, as I think was Jan said earlier on, Play School keeps up with what is happening today within the structure of Play School. So, yes, and I think that's the important bit because kids can then go off and make their own mobile phone or computer or whatever it is in the, you know, the bits of cardboard and whatever else.
You've done a GPS, I think, out of cardboard.
Yes, and I've been to the moon in a cardboard rocket. I've eaten cardboard sandwiches. My major diet is cardboard, I think.
Checked your email on a computer made out of a cereal box.
Yes, I plead guilty to that. Yeah, but it worked.
Yes,
it
worked. Karen, another important thing is that presenters look more diverse, and this is, reflects our increasing diversity as an Australian actor with Asian heritage. Not all TV shows manage to reflect our diversity as well as play school does.
No, it's true, which is kind of sad, but I can just hand it to play school for being, you know, so forward thinking in that, because in our, amongst all the presenters, there is a diversity, and that is just reflective of the demographic of Australia. And it's especially for children, like Jan says, to actually see that and to be understanding of that is just a very, you know, is invaluable for their upbringing, to know that this is what Australia looks like. So it's a great thing.
Yeah. Jan, that comes through as well, I think, with the props and the dolls. I think there's now a male doll called Dan. He has dark skin. I'm wondering if he's Indigenous or...
I believe Dan is Indigenous.
Right. That's never been actually clarified.
No, I'm pretty sure he is. I think Dan's been around Indigenous. For a little while. Yes. And then we've got Mika as well, who I think he came in the mid-90s.
Yes, I'm not sure where she's from.
No. We've also got Kim and Lisa. I believe they're Vietnamese heritage.
All right, well, let's take some more calls and then we'll keep moving. But I cannot get away from the fullness of the board today. Pam in Brisbane, you've got a John and Noni memory.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
My son's 24 and I remember watching Play School with him. I watched it when I was a child as well. But this John and Noni episode, they were going on a picnic. And Noni had all the gear, but it was really, really small. She had a little bag, and she said, "We're going on a picnic." And it was just the most wonderful, spontaneous interchange between John and Noni. John was just absolutely hilarious. And he kept saying, "Well, we can't go on a picnic with all that. There's nothing there. You've just got this little bag." And she'd pull out this tiny little thing, and she'd say, "Well, this is a hat." He said, "That's not a hat." And then she'd go flick, and it'd open up, and it was his hat. And then she had all these little collapsible cups and collapsible everything. And the piece de resistance at the end was, she was saying, "Well, we're going to go in a boat." And he said, "We haven't got a boat." And there was this rolled up sort of bit of like a swag or something on the floor. And by this stage, I was in tears of laughter just because of the way they were interacting with each other and enjoying each other's company and everything. I can't imagine what the guys behind the cameras were doing. And then she pulled this cord, and it was one of those sort of emergency boats.
Oh.
And it just sort of went... And it just all opened up and all blew up in a second, and then they all got in and rode off to their picnic. It absolutely is the most. I mean, I watched it as a child. I watched it with my son, but that's the one. And I just realised what brilliant actors they were.
Mm.
And that John, I mean, he really shone for me. I mean, Noni was brilliant, but
he's pretty easy on the eye, though, wasn't he, John?
John, I wasn't looking at it that way. But
I think John has been one for the mums over the years.
Oh, really? No, but it was just a really...
Depends on which John, I think.
It was a really memorable moment, so that's what I want to talk about. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Pam.
Bye-bye.
Harry in Queensland, you've got a real perspective across, what, four different families?
Yes. Good morning, Richard. Thank you for the show and thank you for your guests.
They're fantastic.
I'm almost 70. Had been lucky to have four families.
Mm-hmm.
And we all, including their dad, have been Play School fans.
Wow. Yep, it's consistent, isn't it?
Yes. I'd just like to say thank you to all of them.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Now, joining us on the line is someone with another... I think unique take on Play School. Harvey Broadbent worked as a producer on the show during the 80s. He spent over 20 years at the ABC, actually. Nowadays, he's a senior research fellow and management committee member of the Centre for Media History at Macquarie University, and he's currently preparing the entry on Play School for a new companion to Australian media. Welcome back, actually, to Life Matters, Harvey.
Oh, yes, thanks very much, Richard, and good day to everybody there. It's really nice to hear such a great, happy session.
It is.
Of reminiscences, and hi to Benita particularly, because I remember working with her beautifully over those years.
Yes, hi, Harvey.
Hi, Benita.
Now, you say that you learned everything there is to know about TV production from Play School.
Oh, absolutely. I've been in radio production for a few years with the ABC since 1977, and then this was 1981 when I made the transfer to TV, and it was my first gig as a TV producer. And because of the way you have to produce Play School, we had to learn how, very quickly, to deal with multi-camera studio direction, writing scripts, directing actors, then going out on location with single-camera film crews to actually produce the through-the-windows segments, and actually to attend script meetings and be creative, as creative as other people in the show. So it's a great learning curve for young producers.
Did you have to do craft? Because that would have would have been the fence that defeated me, I can tell you.
Well, it's pretty easy. I mean, I was at that time I was a younger fellow. And I had my own young preschool age family.
Mm.
So, I had the ready reference there. And, I can just remember scrabbling in the pantry in the larder, looking for wooden boxes, egg cartons, plastic things, bits of ribbon, and sort of valiantly trying to come up with little makes to bring to the script meeting.
Yes.
And, you know, you had to create these things yourself and try them out before you took to the script meetings to make sure you weren't wasting time.
That's right. You even wrote a song at one stage, I understand. A
couple of songs. I think occasionally they're still used. and one of them appears on the CD, and I still get a $65 a year royalty check.
Go mad.
It's called Windmills Go Round.
Right. Noni sang that?
Noni sang that on the CD, I think, yes, and on the show.
Yeah.
And then there's another one which I actually like myself, but nobody sings it anymore. I think it's called Woof, 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 I'm a Dog.
Oh.
I'm struggling as to why that is no longer out there.
I think so, yeah. I think that's the reason. But, I mean, not just for myself, but for other... of the producers, the behind-the-scenes people who worked on the show for many years. It was a great training ground for them, too. I mean, a couple of the producers who worked on it went on to other things in kids' TV. So I think Helena produced High Five, the TV program High Five, later on, and other people worked on more other successful shows. I went on to Big People's Television after that.
Right. Now, a colleague of mine was talking about how she recalls Play School being interrupted by a news flash saying the Prime Minister Harold Holt had disappeared, and at first her parents didn't believe her. Sometimes big events can be remembered through that prism of what we were watching or doing at the time, especially for kids.
Yes, indeed. And, I think children... we've heard from your listeners, how important those moments have been in their lives. You can remember where you were when certain things happened.
Mm.
Of course, for me, I was in the control room, and I don't think anybody's mentioned the time when we let our attention drop a little when the program was being recorded as live, and a shot went out of John Hamlin. When he turned his back on the camera at the end of the show, and a packet of cigarettes was showing from his back pocket.
Yeah. I think there was another incident where someone's cigarettes fell out of their pocket, and they were just put back in the pocket. Just kept going back in the pocket.
You kept going, and that was the way it was produced. That was live, and there was that excitement about, and the adrenaline was flowing. It was for the presenters, I'm sure, Benito and Andrew and all the others would agree that it was a little bit like being on a stage show.
Just briefly, Harvey, because I want to squeeze in some more calls before we wrap this up, but now with your academic hat on, in terms of the Australian media and the history of Australian television, how does Play School stack up?
Well, I mean, apart from it being the longest... the longest-running children's television show. It's actually it's the second-longest Australian TV show, as far as my research shows. I think only Four Corners beats it in terms of longevity.
Right.
Four Corners started in 1961, Play School in 66. The British Humphrey Bear, here's Humphrey, started in 65, but only lasted till 2003 and actually went off air in 2003 for 5 years.
I always thought Humphrey was completely lame, but anyway. when I was four, I remember.
Play School is continuous. And the other TV program to mention with longevity, of course, is Doctor Who, although it's a British production.
Yeah.
That started in 1963.
Mm.
And, of course, that is interrupted by the fact that it's done in blocks of series and goes off air for a long time. So Play School's so important in this sense that it marks a kind of almost a familiarity. I think the...
Harvey, I'm going to have to let you go. Thank you.
The longevity and also the fact that its approach never ages.
Harvey Broadbent, former Play School producer, now with the Centre for Media History at Macquarie University. I'm going to squeeze one more call in, just, well, perhaps two. Let's go to Alicia in the Northern Territory. How are you going?
Well, I just wanted to apologise to Benita because it was a few years ago now. We were in a meditation class.
Yes.
I saw her just at the end of the class, and it was so inappropriate to approach anyone after that, but I just was so starstruck.
Yes.
By seeing this person that had been such a huge part of my life, and I remember going up to her and saying, "I'm really sorry you don't know me, but you've just affected my life," and blah blah blah. And I don't know if she remembers, but I do need to apologise.
She's shuddering, actually.
I just couldn't help myself. There was I've got a couple of kids waiting to watch Play School now, and they're about to start losing it, so I'll have to be very quick.
But, yes.
I also remember a long, long time ago, was it John who used to present with Benita? And I remember him, I looked at some footage of him not long ago, and he's very cheeky. He was always sort of looking at the camera and saying, "Come on, mums, you can get on the horse and we can all ride together." I just thought, well, I don't see Play School presenters being that cheeky with the mums these days, but I kind of wouldn't mind that, you know, because we watch it as well.
Right, okay. Okay, Jan's making a note to get more cheek out for the mums. Let's take one, two maybe. We're squeezing it here, guys. They're nodding at me. Kim in New South Wales, how are you going?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Really well. Now, you were watching Play School in another country completely.
We were. We've just come back to Australia after living as expats in Cambodia. And I just wanted to say how Play School was loved by all nationalities living in Cambodia on the Australia Channel.
Wow. So it's a success story overseas.
It is indeed. Everyone loved it. And at one point, the Australia Channel played two children's programs, and at one point they pulled Play School and put on another program.
Mm.
And everyone went into revolt, and a friend of mine actually wrote in to the Australia Channel to say that everyone actually wanted Play School back on.
Yes.
And we got it back on.
Good on you. That's people.
That's
people power.
It is. That's what she said.
It's a happy studio, Kim.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll have one more. That is Ron in New South Wales. Ron, how are you going?
I'm good.
Now, it's also your birthday. You're 45th.
Yes, my birthday on Sunday, and I'd just like to wish Play School a happy birthday as well, and it's lovely to see things. Some things never change.
It's good to be 45 this year, I think.
It is.
47 too, I say, just pulling a number out of the air for no reason at all. That's Ron in New South Wales. I think that is where we have to wrap it up, because we're starting to... I can see the news on the horizon. We're not far away from it. But just briefly, I want to ask... well, at least a couple of the panel, some questions to finish. Jan Stradling's the executive producer of Play School. I mean, Big Ted has been to the moon. I think he went in 1969, the year that Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin did. What does the future hold for this kind of children's television?
Well, the future for Play School is that we will certainly carry on, hopefully making top quality shows. We'll keep questioning our practices and changing according to the changing media landscape and, you know, early childhood practices. We'll just keep doing what we've done and hopefully go for another 5 years. The reason I'm saying five, because I had 50 in my mind, and I know that Jemima's particularly excited about that, so I was just
Do you reckon you'll be around in 5 years?
If I keep growing my arm hair,
yes,
and sing the way I'm singing.
That's your USP. Well, those two together.
Yeah, I reckon.
And Cara?
Oh, I hope so. It's just such a fabulous show to be a part of. It's a real honour. So, yes, I hope so.
Benita, do you still watch?
Occasionally I do. I flick on just to see who's on and who's doing what, and think I'll just watch for a couple of seconds, and then I kind of find I'm glued in and I'm watching. It's as relevant today as it was when it first started.
I think that's as good a point as any to wrap this up. Thank you, all of you, for coming in today. I thank my panel, which is, of course, Play School royalty, Benita Collings. We also had Andrew McFarlane and Karen Pang, who are two of the presenters of the show now, and Jan Stradling, who's the current EP. Please continue the conversation either via the listener line 0208333 1430 or the website abc.net.au/rn/ Life Matters. Today's show was produced by Jackie May, who watched it herself. Her boys watched it. Our technical producer's Martin Peralta. He watched it. I'm Richard Ady. I watched it. My kids watched it. On Monday's Life Matters, the former Chief Medical Officer, Jim Bishop, on his new role at the helm of the Victorian Comprehensive Cancer Centre. The news is next, then Ramona's here with The Book Show.
The media message, the night air.
When two seemingly disparate elements are imaginatively posed, startling discoveries often result. The medium is the massage.
The medium is the massage.
Any understanding of social and cultural change is impossible without a knowledge of the way media work as environments.
Massaging the media message with aphorism avatar Marshall McLuhan in the night air. Your audio adventure, and you can download or stream this program from the Radio National website.